Before I even start, I just want to say good morning to my wife Audrey in the hospital bed. And I've got a small testimony. As I was preparing the message and it started coming together, I asked the Lord, there was one specific worship song that I asked Him that the worship team would play this morning, because I felt it was applicable to what I'm going to speak about. And God blessed me, but blessed us all, and they did choose that song. And I didn't speak to anybody. But more than that, every single song that the worship team led us in worship this morning is applicable to what I've got in my heart and that I'm going to share with us tomorrow, today. So that's how amazing our Lord is. So as Pastor Barry asked me about probably 6 weeks ago or so, if I will share a message today. I think just about within seconds, I felt the Lord laying something on my heart that started holding up in me that I wanted to share. So I asked the Lord in the days after if he will give me the message and the words and to do that. So I'm blessed to have about an hour's travel commute every day. But I can listen to teachings and I ask the Lord, and just about every single message that I listened to, there was something in it that was building on this thing that was growing in my heart. And I can't share it all, yeah, because then we'll be here the whole of the day, all of today. So I learned something valuable just by that exercise. I learned that when you ask God for a topic to preach on, He will flood you with His word. He will give you so much that you, and then you know that's from the Holy Spirit and it's less from yourself. Even if you're never going to share the message publicly, but by doing that, you'll be so enriched yourself, because God is going to fill you with His word. So basically what I don't even have a real concrete title for the message or anything. So it's just what I was thinking. What are you doing with your gifts? And what are you doing with your weapon? And what are you doing with your salvation? So about gifts, I have to look at my notes as well, but have you ever received a gift that you have been careless with or neglected? Has someone given you something that you neglected? More importantly, have you received a spiritual gift that you are neglecting or you're not using? So I'm going to speak a little bit about myself, sort of weave snippets of my own life and in with a scripture that the Lord has laid on me to illustrate what I'm trying to bring across. About bicycles. I was about 10 or 11 and when my parents, when they weren't wealthy, they were not well off, they bought me a bicycle that they couldn't really afford at the time. And that was a plain bicycle, just a normal, it was new, but it was a plain blue rally bicycle, if I remember correctly. And but kids are cruel. My friends, or so-called friends, had beautiful racing bicycles and all these brand name bicycles, and started teasing me and mocking, making fun of my plain blue bicycle. And I started to, it was a very ordinary bicycle, I started to resent the bicycle. I didn't take that good care of it anymore. In fact, I was careless with it, and I even started to abuse it. And then, a few years later, I was about 14, my parents bought me a yellow racing bicycle, beautiful yellow bicycle. This one I took care of. I even earned pocket money by delivering newspapers with it, so I used it well, and I took care of it. And then, next sort of subtopic, it's about weapons. I joined the South African Air Force when I was 18. South Africa was in a war situation at the time. I joined permanent force. It was after finishing school. No, I was 18. When you enter the Defence Force, your first 3 months of training is called basic training. That's where really from the ground up they start teaching you. But the day that we went into the base, we were issued with our uniforms, with all our kit, and our rifles, our 7.62mm automatic assault rifles. And right away, the instructor, corporal, told us, you refer to this as your rifle or your weapon. You never, don't let me hear you call it your gun. That's your rifle. And you will take care of it as if it's your wife. If you drop your weapon or your rifle, you're going to drop right next to it on your face. Dare not use your hands. You will drop next to it. So I didn't ever drop my rifle. During this training, we were trained to all the training that goes along with it. But with the weapons, we were trained to disassemble it, clean it, every single part, clean the part and reassemble it. And we became so good at it later on. We knew our weapons so well that you could do it. We could do it blindfolded. We actually did it, blindfold each other and see if you can do it properly. And we had competitions to see who does it the fastest, to disassemble it totally and reassemble it blindfolded. We got to know our weapons very, very well. And we took our weapons everywhere. When we were doing PT, when we were running, and while we were leopard crawling, all of those things. And it got some scratches on it, got, you know, wear and tear, but it was well used, well taken care of it, because you had to be confident in your weapon to save your life if called upon. The message there, we are at war. And my message will have a lot of military references in it, but also a lot of scripture. So make no mistake, we are in a spiritual war. And why do I say that? Because God's word says we are. The instant that you accept Jesus as your Savior, that's when you enter into this war, into this battle. This is a well-known scripture that I'm going to read to us. It is Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20, and I'll read it all. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm not going to read 19 and 20 right now. God gave us a weapon, or God gave us each a weapon as a gift. It's the sword of the Spirit. Your weapon is the Bible, the Word of God. Get to know it intimately. The Bible is God's way of speaking to us directly. It comes alive only when you become a believer. Otherwise, it's a book. It is written, teaching, instruction, orders to equip us for this battle, but it is so much more. Listen to this scripture, John 1, verse 1 to 5. I love this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the military, there's a command structure. Before being deployed, you have to undergo training, intensive training to prepare you for battle. And there's a chain of command that you have to obey. your orders. In man's army, in our physical armies in the world, you receive your training at your base, and you are deployed to the battlefield to wage war against whoever the enemy is. But you never go into battle alone. You go as a squadron or a battalion or whatever the correct term is, depending on the division that you are in, where you serve. And after the battle, you return to your base for rest, for debriefing, for care, for healing, for counseling if need be, and further strategic training. And, but in God's army, as a believer, our commander is our king and our God, and we worship him. Our division commanding officer is our pastor, and our base is our local fellowship. It is our pastor's duty to teach and equip us for battle, and he teaches us how to use and take care of our weapon. The pastor will be held accountable for what he teaches us. We are blessed as a fellowship. We have a pastor that teaches us well. There's major differences between man's war and the spiritual war that the believer is involved in. A man's physical war aims to destroy his enemy, which is his fellow man. The believer's war does not take human life, but it saves life. Whereas enemy Satan and his fallen angels aim to kill and destroy as many as he can in any way he can before his time is over. Our mission as believers are to rescue the hostages from Satan, the unbelievers. The battleground is the world, otherwise known as the mission field. John 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Many wars, can be won by either side. Whichever army is the strongest has the best strategy or whatever. Our war is already won. Jesus defeated death by giving his life, by rising from the dead and ascending into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. He conquered death. When you are saved, you cannot be killed. You can physically die, but the enemy cannot destroy your soul. And you know, this side of heaven, you must die of something. The Bible says it's appointed for every man to die once. So you have to die of something. But your soul goes to God the moment that physical death happens. And consider this following scripture. I've got a lot of scripture that I'm going to read. Isaiah 57. This is important to me in order to read the scripture. We've spoken about it often. Isaiah 57 verse 1 and 2. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. When you die as a believer, you don't lose. You don't lose the battle. You are promoted, and you don't have to be on the battlefront anymore. You go to headquarters forever. You experience the fullness of God's gift to you, which is eternal life. Listen to this one, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 to 8. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So how do you join God's army? You have to be born again. It's that simple. John 3, verse 3 to 5, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Okay, so how do you become born again? So I was wondering, are we each one of us confident? If someone had to ask you, how do you get born again? Can you explain it? Do you know, if impulsively someone had to ask you, would you be able to explain what is it to become born again? So I've borrowed something here from, I don't even know who originally came up with this, but it's called, it's a simple way. It's one way, but it's a simple way of explaining practically, something to keep in your back pocket always. It's called the ABC of salvation. I think many of us might have heard of that already. But it's back to scripture. The A stands for admit or acknowledge that you are a sinner. Romans 3 verse 10 said, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Also, Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then Romans 6 verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the B stands for believe in your heart. Romans 10 verse 9 to 10, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And the C, call on the name of the Lord, and as well confess with your mouth. It's also Romans 10 verse 9 to 10 is applicable there, but Romans 10 verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So when you are saved, what are you going to do with your salvation? And what are you going to do with this weapon? So we can never earn our salvation, but Jesus did tell us what to do with it. Make the decision to look after your salvation. How do you do that? By sanctifying yourself, setting yourself apart. Make the decision to set yourself apart. Salvation is a once-off event. Sanctification is a lifelong process. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God." In fact, it says it is the gift of God. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And then also Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So, what then? How do I use my salvation? Jesus gave us the answer, in what's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the end of the age. Amen.'" We are all different people. Not everyone is called to become missionaries, to go to the ends of the earth. Some are called to stay at the base and to teach. Some to serve, some to reach out to neighbors, friends, colleagues, family. But one thing you are commanded to make disciples. The mission field is all around us. In Romans 10, verse 14 to 15, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How well do you know your weapon? Pastor Barry taught us well about different Bible translations and paraphrases, the history, how they came about. And he also taught us which translations to trust and which to be careful of. Get to know your weapon, which is the Bible, intimately, that you will immediately recognize that any false teaching that tries to sneak in it, like that grain of sand in my rifle that I could feel, if there's anything off, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you and listen to Him. Let Him give you the discernment to discern when there's something wrong in it, whether it's a translation or a teaching or anything. Allow the Word to become part of your own DNA, to become engraved on your heart. The better you get to know the Word of your God, the better you get to know your Savior. One of the most beautiful scriptures to me, the descriptions of the Word of our Savior Lord Jesus, is in John 1, verse 12 to 14. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, and those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Take good care of your salvation. How well are you looking after your salvation? That seems strange, but how well are you looking after your own salvation? In Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4, we read, therefore, we must give them the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His will. Also, I'm going to pause quickly. I want to bring something in. Just a quick something that happened to me at work in the beginning of this year. I think it was the first week. Early in the morning, got there in a big open plan office, and one of my colleagues, didn't have much to do with him, but one of the colleagues was there, and as custom, he asked, how's your weekend, back and forth, and I said, oh, no, it was great, went to church. And he stood back, and he said, I would never have thought that you're a religious person. And he was quite pleased with it, but I wasn't pleased with it, because what, am I a covert Christian, undercover Christian, that he didn't know? Nothing in me witnessed to him that made him see there's something different to me. It's actually not such a good thing. But it's not that, then I was thinking, what did I do to make him say that? And I realized, no, it's not the what did I do, it's what didn't I do? I was convicted. The next scripture, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. As we look at current events in the world, not just in Israel, but all over America, here, all countries, as we look at current world events, everyone realizes something is going on. Even unbelievers see that there's something up. I wonder if I can quickly read a post. I don't know what we are for time. We've got time. Amir Tsarfati posted something on Telegram this morning that I'll quickly read if I may. Sure, if I can find it again. Bear with me. It's not too long. Which relates to this. Said, we are no longer studying about the future world's strong delusion. We are watching it. We are about to watch the soon implosion of America, followed by the rise of the emboldened axis of evil to come against Israel. This will be followed by a miraculous victory of the God of Israel over the enemies of Israel. A world left without the existence of radical Islam and evil Russia will then start searching for civilization 2.0. How can they hate Israel yet pretend that they love them, reject the Messiah, and yet offer a better way to be saved? The Antichrist. For him to rise, the church must be taken first. The great exchange is on its way. Speaking about the rapture of the church. Are you ready? Expect to be ridiculed, hated, attacked, and not so popular. Expect not to be followed or praised. Expect to see miracles. Expect to go to your real home and never to live in this evil world again until you return with the King of Kings to reign, rule, and judge with him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 to 6, if we read that, it speaks about this time. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Many people quote that, but they don't carry on. Verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I think in this context, the word sober doesn't mean sober from alcohol. It means to be vigilant, to have a situational awareness in what's happening in the world. It's our duty as believers. Be watchmen and warn others of what is coming. We know what is coming because it's in God's word. There will soon come a time where the enemy will seem to be getting the upper hand. It seems to look a little bit like that now already. The Bible calls it the Great Tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. That time is seems like it's on the doorstep, just about. But we're not there yet. The believers, us, the bride of Christ, will not go into this time. He will come to take us out of the battlefield, on this battlefield on earth. In Titus 2, 11, verse 11 to 15, we read, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And also, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That is the rapture. You can't reason that away. And there will be a time, the second coming, after that terrible time, the tribulation. All nations and people who happen to survive it will see, because most of the population of the world, I think about 3/4, will be dead. But those who survive it will see him come in victory and in his full glory. I want to read quite a bit of scripture. I do not have the words, and I can't do better than just reading it. It comes out of Revelation. So I'm going to ask Umito if she can play us soft music to set the atmosphere for us. And I want to invite you, if you will, as I read the scripture, close your eyes, however you feel comfortable, meditate on the Lord, on the Word, think of Him, worship Him in your heart, our Savior and King Jesus. And I don't know if you pick up, but the song that I asked the Lord for them to play today is the Revelation song. Holy, holy, holy. Thanks, Rita. So I'm going to start reading. Revelation 4, verse 8 to 11. Quite a bit, but enjoy it. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by You, by Your will, they exist and were created. Now and then Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's us. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received this mark, his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then, Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in him. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 22, jumping forward a bit. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And finally, Revelation 22, verse 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.